Hi there, thanks for joining me. I am Jess Packy for OLEcast.com, your Northwest entertainment source.
So we're here with Novell at their practice space, and they're feeling good.
Saying this guy's legs crossed like a bitch. No offense.
Hey, to any bitches that are out there.
To any bitches that are out there, thank you very much.
Sorry, Sonny has nicer legs.
That's pushing it.
And I'm not wearing a shirt either.
You look pretty white.
And hairy.
We like white people. We like black people, Asians. We like Asians too.
He's shaving up for Movember.
Mexicans.
Ah. It's coming. So we'll start with you, Mr. Singer, and we'll go and work our way around, and we'll say who we are and how long we've been with the band.
I'm Sean Sweet, singer from Novell. Been with the band since 1987, even though they weren't together until 88. But see, I knew in my mind that this is where I was going to be.
Have you done anything else? Or just this?
I made a couple of kids.
Ah, kids are good.
Got married twice. Yeah. But this is much fun.
Anyway.
Sometimes when Tim's not here.
Your wife will probably listen.
Probably not. Which one? No, it's this is great. Come back 20 years later and do what we love to do and still get along exactly the same way as we did 20 years ago is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Not much has changed. And most of us hadn't seen each other in a very long time.
Very cool.
Yeah. Except for me and him, as you can tell. From the previous conversation, pre-recorded.
He's been in other bands, too.
Any other projects?
Yeah, I've been in quite a few of them.
Any we know?
Probably not. I was in Mr. Grinch, Pale Rider, Timing Chain, a couple of other bands along the way, but nothing as fun or as serious as this. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You only love what you do, you know.
He's going to demand me for speaking up. Sorry about that. I'm just trying to help you out.
What, Pale Rider?
Yeah, Pale Rider is like a true metal band.
Yeah.
With a badass guitar player, mm-hmm. Aaron Waller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the drummer from Pale Rider is now in Zeke, or was formerly in Zeke. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. Donnie Paycheck.
Awesome. Okay.
He was a friend of mine. I wouldn't know if he's a friend of mine now or not. I haven't seen him in 30 years.
That happens.
I imagine he's probably not.
Well,
if I had to guess,
well,
he may be listening to, and then he can call me.
Well,
he can tell me personally if we're friends or not.
All right, next.
Jimmy Korn. I joined Novell in '89. I played drums, by the way. I joined Novell in '89, and before our first show. And we lasted until about late 92, something like that, maybe 93, early 93, before we all disbanded. Most of these dudes, they're playing right now with us, which these two cats on my left, Ty and Sonny, they were the beginners, the genesis of Novell.
We're still beginners.
They're still beginners. Well, Sonny...
Ty's a great beginner, but...
Sonny's okay.
Ty's
in high school. But most of these guys, Paulie and Sean included, are a singer, Paulie bass bass player. They took time off because they all had kids and families and they had to make sure they could support little munchkins and shit. I had the luxury of never having kids because I didn't want any because I was too fucking selfish because I wanted to play drums. Even though I never got any better, but I kept playing drums. So I've jammed in multiple bands through the last couple decades or whatever. Timing Chain with Sean. I did the X Dudes from Metamorphosis years ago in a different band called Exhale. I did Crash Landing. It's a good band with another one of our singers that we used to have in Novell after Sean quit. And I kept playing the whole time, give or take a couple months here and there, 6 months, break a leg, and you can't play for a while. Band members piss you off. Oh, I was in Faces Pale for a long time. That's where actually me and Paulie, bass player, first hooked up. He was going to be our bass player. In Timing Chain, he was the bass player in Timing Chain, and some weird shit happened, and he quit right when I joined, so we never got to jam together, but we hooked up in Faces Pale, him on guitar then, and then these fuckers, Ty and Sonny, I actually called Sonny up one day, finally, and kept calling him, and he came over and started jamming at my house. He
banged on his door and said, "Will you quit ringing my phone? I don't want to see you. Yep. Or talk to you."
After 6 months.
My wife says I can't.
And me and Sean, because matter of fact, see, I do actually like to talk. Me and Sean and Polly were in a band after Faces Fail that was called Fractured Prophet. We never played a show. We were writing songs. And I got a hold of Sonny to try and Jim Summer, a.k.a. good guitar player. We started jamming at my house on the weekends for fun, and then I helped the demise of Fractured Prophet come around so that we could actually do this thing again, because this is the best fucking music I've ever played in my life. And all as a whole, as a body of work, and these are the four actually best dudes I've ever fucking played with, as far as their craft, their art goes, and personally. Well, me and Sean aren't bitching and arguing. We're having a great time. Which is, the small percentage, but whatever. We love each other like brothers, and we treat each other like brothers.
You guys work together?
Yeah, we work together.
What do you do?
We do concrete. Foundations, flat work. We prefer to do flat work because it's easier. You make more money. And it's
we
more
own
fun.
What company is it?
We own a company called Sweet Finish Concrete.
There you go.
Sweet Finish Concrete.
What's my last name?
Sean Sweet. he was shameless plug of business named.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That's the cool thing about Novel is everybody takes their craft really seriously, and we don't take ourselves too seriously, which is also
it's all about the music.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
We don't write it so we can shine. We write it so the music. We try and write the next song better than the last song.
Cool.
Yeah, because we want to. If we don't want to listen to it, why would we want to fucking play it?
Why would anybody else want to listen to it if we don't?
Exactly. Yeah. And and so it's up to this cat right here, Slim.
Cat.
Sonny, Jim, Sleep Summer,
cat. Whoa.
One of two lead guitar players in our band. Actually, one of three lead guitar players, but only two that play guitar at this point in time.
Wow, good. Call them in.
Call them in.
We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Jim Sommer. People who know me as my close friends call me Sonny. And
other things.
Yeah, and other things. I hooked up with Noah Vail. I think it was 1986 when Ty first came over to my house. This girl was living with me, and she told me about, hey, I have this friend that plays the guitar, and blah, 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 and somebody sings. So they came over. I had a daylight basement. They came over and jammed, and it was like immediately me and Ty just kind of clicked, just the way we write riffs off of each other and stuff like that. So so that was 86, right? I think.
Yeah, Ty was just like, born in 85.
Write licks off of each other.
Ty was like 16, I think.
Wipe licks off each other. Sorry.
What's that?
Wow.
That's why I like Ty.
We just have a good time.
No, we went to, let's see, and then Jimmy joined the band after that. I can't remember who came along. I don't know if it was Jimmy and then Sean or Sean and
Sean
Jimmy.
Sean and Jimmy.
Sean and then Jimmy. That's right.
Sean used to always do that.
And then we
started. Every band I'd join, I'd make he sure would join, kick the drummer out and bring my drummer.
He would join a band, then he'd fucking fire the drummer or have me fire the fucking drummer.
Yeah, that's funny. We had the drummer we had at the time. I think we made Korn.
Yeah,
Tony wasn't in the band.
They actually told me, "Is well, if you want the job, you got to fire him." And 3 weeks earlier, they had played my birthday party because I was homeless, living at Sean's dad's house, at which, you know, because whatever. Well, we can explain that in the next interview. But you know, I was a 21 year old kid. And they played my birthday party, and I got the first drummer. They let me play for a couple songs. And the dude came up to me at the end of the night, and he's like, they're going to fire me, and they're going to want you to play drums. I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. For one, I like you. You're my friend. I'd never do that to you. And two, I don't like their songs. And 3 weeks later comes around. It's like, well, yeah, if you want to jam with us, we want you to jam. But if you want to jam with us, you got fire. I'm like, really? So I had to go eat my words and say, sorry, dude. You're right. And you're gone. And that was how it went from there. Pusses.
It was cool. I mean, Jimmy said down.
Sean likes to.
We were moving in a direction at the time where it was going toward more thrash of the kind of stuff, like on our 1991 recordings. So when we first heard Jimmy play, it's like he lit it up on the double bass, and it's like, that's the drummer we need right there. Yeah. And,
that's what we were missing.
Yeah, that's what we were missing, exactly.
Then they got to know him.
It's funny.
Damn, what the hell did he
do? No, it's funny because at the time I only had a single kick drum setup, I think.
Well, I don't know what you were doing, but it was...
Are you vaping?
So, he's vaping.
Yeah.
Crack?
Trying to not smoke in the room, dude.
Good boy. I'll build that computer up.
So what other bands were you in after you quit Noah Vail?
Yeah.
I was in a band after Noah Vail called Pillar that lasted from 1993 to 1998. The drummer was Russ Croker from Condemned, which was another Kent band. Because Noah Vail was originally a Kent band back in the day, and our bass player, Paul Chandler, was also in Condemned. His brother, Marty Chandler, was in Panic. And our singer was a guy, Ryan Steins, that answered an ad, and he moved up here from Oregon. So we did that for 5 years. Ty was actually in that band to begin with as well, and he quit for some reason.
I won't say anything.
You know what's fucked up about this shit? I think everyone in this room besides myself has quit a fucking band.
Yeah. Oh,
you,
yeah.
You quit. No, Sean's quit. Yeah. Ty quit Pillar. Sonny quit Noah Vail. You quit Timing Chain.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Sean quit Noah Vail and Timing Chain too, but that's because we were a bunch of drunks and he was sober. I've never quit a fucking band in my life.
As soon as it stopped
got
being
fired
fun,
before once.
You know, it's like...
Twice.
Fuck
almost.
This, you know. This sucks.
Maybe I got fired 3 times.
Yeah, there was a bunch of life things going on for me at the time, and I ended up...
still are.
Getting... Yeah, really. Really. Still got his boot on my throat right now.
High heel.
Anyway, yeah, got married, had kids and everything, and totally was out of the scene for 15 years, and then Jimmy called me, and I was like, I had thought about it many times. I wonder what the Noah Vail dudes are doing. You know, just in thinking. I still played my guitar a lot, and Jimmy called me up, and eventually, and after months of playing phone tag, we finally hook up. And then Ty, I got a hold of Ty, and he was like, I was so psyched when he goes, yeah, I'll come over and jam. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. So then we started playing our old stuff, and we were like, holy crap.
People, this is hard.
The guys at Thrash Forward used to call us Slow Avail. But I was like, man, after not playing consistently, you know, for so long, to come back and play this kind of quick stuff. Took a month for me anyway to get my chops back up to where I could play it, you know, without 2 months. Okay, 2 months.
Still working on it.
Yeah, it's still still working on my chops. Anyway, so this has been really cool. Like Sean said earlier, the second time around, pretty much the same dudes and the same people that they were when we left off 20 some years ago. We're serious about what we do musically, but we like to have fun too. And we, like Sean said as well, we don't take ourselves too serious, but we do take serious the music we try to produce and put out.
And the show.
And our shows, yeah. And
except for part of the last one.
Just for me, I just kind of, somebody asked me, why do you do this? And it's like, I enjoy the hell out of it. And it's,
you'd rather play guitar than do anything. You'd rather play guitar and jam and play live music than anything else, wouldn't you? Maybe sex once in a while or something?
Well, I don't know.
Would you rather vape and go on the computer?
Because what's on the computer?
So you got a smartphone. You can watch this on your phone.
Jeez, shut up.
So what's your day job?
I work for a company that makes ignition interlocks. So if you have a DWI, you might come to where I work, and the court orders you to put this a blow and go in your car. You have to blow before you drive.
What's the name of your company?
It's called Life Safer.
Life Safer.
Yeah. Anyway, unfortunately, it's a booming business. Apparently.
That's good for you, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, they have like 1,400 locations around the country, and it's funny that people come in to get their stuff, their data out, and it's so funny because I go out in the shop and the cars are all beat up and everything, and you just tell this person's having a rough time. You know, they got a DWI, they crashed their car. It's like, man, I feel sorry for you people having to drive with one of those. Sorry about that.
You people.
Ty, fucking people.
Ty, take it, buddy.
Move
What's
on.
That?
Take it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, enough.
Break, 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 break
My name's Ty. I play guitar in Novell.
Ty what?
Butte. Ty Butler.
The Butte.
Yeah, they call me the Butte. Don't ask me why. Far from it. So anyway, how long have I been in the band? Forever.
Ty is Novell.
I started the band, actually, in when?
86, right?
Probably 85.
I don't know when it was. It was I was young.
I graduated.
I was very young. I was 15, I think. And
Ty would have to sit outside our show.
I never, before we broke up the first time, I never got to go to a bar and actually sit in the bar when we played. I always had to sit outside.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to actually be able to stay at the bar. No.
This is cool.
And we're sober.
I'm sober. I don't drink. Yeah. But it's still kind of cool. Anyway, I did the Pillar thing for a while with Jim, and then I had kids and did the kid thing, and it's great to be back with these guys. It really is. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just so much fun.
Awesome.
It is a lot of fun.
What's the time in between?
How long in between?
Yeah.
23
years.
23 years.
What's really cool, that was back before the internet, right? So we hand-flyered. We'd go to the U District. We'd flyer the crap out of everything. And what was the coolest years, thing to me, to come back into the scene and have people that I don't remember know who Noah Vail was. And I was like,
yeah,
wow.
That's really cool.
I thought that was super really cool. Yeah, and I'd like anybody listening, I would just like to say thanks a lot for coming to our shows and supporting us. It's a total trip, and it's a blast, and we really appreciate it.
They still love the shit that we wrote back in fucking 90.
Awesome.
Because that's when we quit playing One Lover shit and stuff like that. Started playing.
Yeah, the first song we played tonight, Spam, that was written in like 1990.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I still think it's good music. I mean, it's like, I like listening to old Slayer or old Judas Priest or whatever. I mean, it's just kind of stuff I like. Testament and Anthrax, you know. I like that old stuff.
That Bay Area thrash in your face.
Yeah, yeah, actually, exactly, you know.
Yeah, old Anthrax is a good Anthrax.
Well, their new stuff's killer, too.
So.
Anyway, sorry, Ty.
Well, I'm good. That's it for me.
He's the silent quiet.
What do you do during the day, Ty?
I am a carpenter.
You're a carpenter. And then you just had the one band that you were in? Or
Yeah, I jam with other people. But it was never...
Wait, when? Now?
Yeah, I do a bunch of other sides. When I'm not on the road with my other groups, I'm... I played, but not really. You know, I mean, just kind of chilled. Yeah.
You kept playing the whole time, though.
I did.
Sonny, you were playing your guitar. You just weren't playing.
Yeah, I was playing docking or something.
That's what I was playing. That's what you were.
No, that would be a Sonny thing. That's not a Ty thing. Ty would be more like the Melvins or something.
Yeah.
You ought to hear the crap they give me, because I'm a total docking fanboy, and George Lynch is my guitar hero, and so I write so much crap that sounds like that, and it gets nixed before I even finish the first riff.
What's that fucking band? You played that, and then you went over Jerry's and recorded with them?
That's something I made
you
up.
Played some, what's the band that it sounded like, though? What is that fucking song?
I don't know.
Smashy Pumpkins.
No. Cultured Collective Soul. He played a fucking riff. Yeah. He's like, hey, what do you think of this? I'm like, don't ever fucking play that in our room again.
No!
And so what do you do? He went next door to Sean's brother, or singer's brother's room, my brother too. Went over there next door to their room on one of the weeknights and recorded with those dudes, because they play more music. They like stuff like that. It's like, dude, if you get the fuck out of here. I mean, Ty actually came in with one riff he was playing and saying, he's like, hey, let's play this. And I'm like, dude, that sucks. He's like, well, you said try anything. That's your policy, right? Try anything once. I'm like, well, as far as music goes, mind you. And I'm like, all right. And food, and that's cool, you know, that's about it. And fucking... So I'm like, dude, that's fucking stupid. And he's like, whatever. And Ty came in there, and he's like, dude, what are you playing? He's like, blah, blah. He's like, that's gay. And I'm like, all right, out of the fucking room, bro. Get that riff out of the room. This is a good, we need to keep a good
environment. It must have been really gay, because
it was really gay.
I don't usually say stuff like that.
No, you don't, unless it's something like that one.
Unless it's really gay.
Yeah, it's like... Exactly.
Anyway, shut up. We got one more person in the band.
He didn't
mean it to
make sense that you'd think this is gay.
Not winning any fans.
No, gay as in like too happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a happy rippy right.
It's like a mustard
take it
sandwich.
Somewhere else.
Take its happy ass next door.
Yeah. Happy freaking
rip
somewhere else.
Yeah. All right, Paulie.
We're all about angry.
All right, I'm Paulie. Or Paul DeAndre, whatever you want to call me. But I play bass in this outfit. What's it been, 2 years since we...
Something like that.
January would be 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because me and you and Ty hooked up in Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these guys, they wanted to put the band back together again, and they asked me to come along and play bass. And fuck, it's fun. This is probably the best band I've ever been in. I've been I was in Timing Chain with Sean back in, what was that, about 92 or 93, somewhere in there?
Yeah, right about that.
Yep, and I was in Bass is Pale with him. I've been working with Jimmy Korn here for about, 7 or 8 years now?
At least 5.
Yeah, well,
maybe a couple months.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway,
probably.
So I've been with God Damage and Timing Chain and Face is Pale and an old band called Wet Betty.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that with Rob.
Were you really?
Yeah, with Rob Harvey. And
that's where I first met him.
Yeah, so this is actually probably the best band I've ever been in. I mean, I'm having the most fun that I've ever had, that's for sure. But the thing is like Korn alluded to earlier, that, you know, we take the music seriously, but not ourselves so seriously. So to me, that's a natural match, you know.
It's just the way
we don't got any rock stars running around in here.
No egos?
No big egos? No, man. I totally...
I don't see
that. That rubs me wrong every time, you know?
Yeah. It does. I don't see that.
No, the chemistry's right, you know? Everybody's not trying to... Yeah. I'm not looking for rock star parking everywhere I go.
Yeah, really. Damn, somebody's in my spot again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mine's more like the little wheelchair. Yeah. I forgive
you. So what's your day job?
I am a Teamster. I'm a construction truck driver. I build freeways and highways. Sometimes runways and railroads, too, but mostly highway work. So I work the night away all over Washington State.
Yeah. Hey, dudes.
I don't
Hey.
You guys are going to get in trouble.
Hey, recording over here.
We're fucking talking over here. We're listening to you guys. What's being said? We're talking over the tape. We're whispering. We're just talking over here. We're not arguing.
To whisper to sawmill?
Okay, so when did you join Noahville? Were you in the first rendition of Noahville?
No, I was not in the first rendition of Noahville.
So what did you do in between Timing Chain
and
Noahville? In what bands? You played in Faces Pale, right?
Yeah, I played in Faces Pale and God Damage, Timing Chain, and band way before that too, back when you guys were still together. I was in Wet Betty with Rob Harvey.
That's right, that's when I first met you.
That's why I used to jam with Rob Harvey a long time ago.
Yeah.
And what, you know what's really cool about this is that Paul DeAndre, this guy right over here, he's the only fucking bass player I've ever jammed with in my life, or haven't jammed with it at different points, that I wanted to play with. He's the only dude I ever wanted as a bass player in a band. The first band I was ever in that played a show actually with Pale Rider, Sean's old band from, pre-Noahville. So, I mean, we're talking about, like, almost high school days. It was a band called Cash or Jail. And it was a punk band. First band I was ever in was a punk band. And, I forgot where it was going. Cash our first show we played, there was no bass player. Because we didn't need one. We couldn't find one for one. We didn't really have to have one.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to play bass.
We still don't need one. I'm just kidding.
No, probably not.
But he's the only bass player I've personally ever wanted to jam with.
Thank you.
And I've played with guys that are better than him and worse, but he's the only one I want.
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was about 10 years old. So
next time we do the interview,
I'll be 6.
Well, yeah, I was a Catholic choir boy when I was a kid, and it just eventually moved into where I just started doing this instead. I don't know why. Jeez. But, that's how I got started, was working with choir. And then it just naturally progressed to...
Death metal!
I play lead guitars and bass. But to me... a lot of guys, you know, like these guys were just saying that they couldn't find a bass player because most guitar players won't play bass. To me, I like it better on stage. You got more freedom.
Bigger stuff to fall into.
Yeah, yeah. Bigger stuff to fall into. That's for sure. But yeah, you get. I tripped over a microphone stand there on our last fucking show. I walked by it, kicked it out of the drum set, and it backed up and tripped right over the son of a bitch.
Yeah, I watched it. It said, "Fuck you, I'm gonna trip you."
Oh, dude. Yeah, that microphone stand got me good, man. Dude.
Did you get up and keep playing?
No, I had to get helped
he
up.
Did, when I didn't. He was laughing too.
When I landed against Ty's cabinet, and it flew backwards, so I was pinned down. So Ty had to grab me, pull me up. And I was like, God damn it, that isn't the worst I've done. I fell off the back of the stage at the off-ramp in Seattle once, and then there was a Chinese restaurant in Kent years ago. Noble China. And up on the corner of the stage, because I always play on, like, stage left, they had a barrier set up in front of the stage, at the front of the stage there was a monitor, and I stepped over to monitor, but the stage was, like, round. But the barrier was square, so I fell straight forward right into this hole, man. Jesus. But yeah, I've fallen off stages everywhere I go.
I was at that show. I don't think I've seen that, though.
Yeah, I did. I ate it.
That's when you had Jeff.
I ate it.
That's when you had Jeff or Sean singing.
No.
Oh, no, I was with Wet Betty. I was with Wet Betty.
You went to go see them together.
Yeah, they had that Jeff dude singing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, we were playing at the fourth Ave. My fucking problem is I always look up at the fourth Ave a couple weeks ago.
And the stage mix was such that it was like, for the night, it was like I was jamming with Jimmy because I really couldn't hear Ty and Paulie at all from their side of the stage. It was just like,
I was just
having practice with Jimmy. It was just me and him. So during the course of the night, I didn't see anything. I didn't see what happened. I just noticed that all of a sudden there's no noise coming from that, from that side of the stage.
And wiped out
and
everything.
I look over there, and I swear, Ty, I thought I was about to pee his pants. He was laughing so hard, he stopped playing his guitar.
No, he unplugged my guitar.
I unplugged him.
Knocked my mic off my and everything.
That was a crash and burn.
It's funny now.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't funny then, yeah, man. I was like, oh, dude, I just fucking tanked again.
Then I went to go sing backups. And my mic's hanging off his fucking tooting teeth.
He went to go sing backups, and I put my head over there by him. Here you go, dude.
It's hanging off of me. What?
It was hanging off the end of my bass. So he went to go sing backup, so I kind of moved my bass over there for him. He didn't think that was as funny,
speaking
though.
To the mic.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. We finished the song.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good.
That wasn't the first bass player we've ever had fall off stage.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, we were at Legends in Tacoma way back in the day, and we had a guy playing for us, and he was blind, I think, in his left eye, and he was on stage left, so he didn't see the left side of the stage.
He just fell right out the back of it.
off the back.
Yeah. Is he on stage right?
No, he was over.
He's on stage left.
Was he?
So as you can tell, we still enjoy what we do because we make light of everything.
Yeah, have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was embarrassing, though. I haven't fell down on stage in years.
I'm glad you're okay.
I don't think I've ever fallen down.
No, I didn't get hurt, which is amazing.
I almost did there.
Yeah.
You almost foot on the monitor?
Yeah.
The monitor went over.
That happened.
Did it?
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
I slipped on the stage painted plywood.
Did you do that?
Painted plywood, yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah.
You knocked the monitor off?
No. I slipped on the stage.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I didn't knock the monitor off and then fall off stage.
Didn't you slip at Jocko's, too?
That's why I tend to not move around a lot now. I'm more bones.
Get you some cleats.
Thank God we don't drink as much as we used to at shows.
Yeah.
on the 31st.
Oh, yeah. Show on Halloween. Halloween 31st at Louis with some really good bands. We're giving away, GFR Productions and the other bands mixed with us, No Avail, are giving away all kinds of shirt from, like, I think Sonny's got some signed underwear. And
whose underwear?
I'm not sure.
Well, that would be Don Dawkins.
Don Dawkins George underwear. Lynch's.
That would be George Lynch.
George Lynch. Keep those. I'm not giving those away.
They're not mine. I don't
let's be serious. Come on.
GFR Productions and the bands are giving away a couple of guitars.
Yeah.
Shirts. We just got some beanies.
Shirts. All the bands. There's a raffle for a bunch of free stuff. Like, you probably get a signed drum head from one of these guitar players if they have any. Or whatever they got going on. You tell them. You know what's going on.
Guitar,
you
got a flyer.
Yeah, you covered it. There's two guitars. All the bands are going to pitch in and give away a couple shirts at least, you know, or whatever kind of merch we can cobble together to give away. We just got some beanies in that are really nice. They're black with silver embroidery, No Avail across the front of it. Those are pretty cool.
So what about an album? When?
You know, that's a good question. We were recording three songs at Sanctuary Studios with
a while ago
with Troy.
And
Tony.
Troy.
That was Troy's last name. I can't remember right now. Troy. Off my head.
What is it?
Troy Boy.
No, it's
Troy Goins.
Troy Goins. Troy Goins.
Yeah, Troy Goins and Tony Bennington.
Tony Engel.
So we were doing three. To start off with, we started out, and then Jimmy had to go to the hospital and get operated on him, so that knocked him out of the loop for at least a month, and it's just been kind of a really difficult thing for us to schedule and get it done, you know?
Yeah, well, everyone's schedules, you know, all these fuckers still have kids, besides myself, and they got everything, we got work and this and that, it's just really hard to get something done unless everyone takes vacation at the same time. Which
when we are ready, then the guy recording us isn't.
It can't be ready, exactly. Yeah, his schedule.
It's been hard to coordinate.
He's a bartender to where it's like, really, we can jump in here now. It's like, I gotta work till 2 o'clock in the morning.
At 3 in the morning?
Yeah, I could.
So I could find your music on Reverb Nation.
Yeah,
right?
But
you don't get any money for that, darn it.
No, we're just giving it. That stuff we recorded in 1991, just on Reverb Nation.
Yeah, and except for the video stuff, though. But 91 stuff is with their other singer that took my place for a while.
Terry Humber.
In my stead.
Okay.
He kept the seat warm for me.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And the mic's spitty. I cleaned it, though.
Just sanitize.
So, yeah, that stuff's on there that we recorded at, I don't know, Soundtracks or something. I can't remember the name of the place where we recorded it. I thought we recorded it at London Bridge, but it wasn't.
No. It wasn't. London Bridge is in, like, fucking Asia or some shit like that. Is it Rock Sound Studios on Lake City Way?
Okay.
So what do we got after Halloween?
After Halloween, Ty's going to take a week off around Christmas, and then we're going to start booking more shows. We're going to play every month or two, probably.
Yeah.
We're going to book all over the place. From probably
we're trying to play every month or two, but without saturating so much. And
we're going to play different areas.
We can get some more.
We're gonna start working with other bands. We'll play in their territory, in their in their backyard. It's like, okay, you got followers over there, bring them to the show. If you don't, then when you come down here, we're not gonna play it.
We'll bring people around here. Yeah, it's like with Fallen Angels at the Halloween show. They're from Seattle. They're playing, and I talked to Louis a long time ago. Early in the year, I was thinking about booking shows, and I was like, wonder what day Halloween's on. So I looked on the calendar. I'm like, holy crap. Halloween's on a Saturday, so I got a hold of Louis Galarza, and he says, go ahead, book it a sure night. So the guys on the bill, originally it was us, Fallen Angels, Massacre of the Opera, and Beyond Theory. Beyond Theory recently broke up, so now it's going to be Inside the Gates opening, then Massacre at the Opera, Fallen Angels third, and then we're playing last. So the idea with inviting Fallen Angels down, one, they're a thrash band. I saw them open for Exodus in Studio 7. They're in the same vein of music as us. They're really good. And so, kind of like what Korn just said, come down here and play at Louis, play third, and hook us up with the show in Seattle and let us play third. You know, let us try to get some exposure to some people on your part of town. So that's, you know, I like the working with musicians that look at it like a business, but also as a brotherhood where let's help each other out, you know. Because who wants to go play out of town and open where nobody knows who you are and nobody's there? I'd much rather go play with some guys that draw at that part of town and get put in a slot where their fans can see you and hopefully get some crossover fans out of the deal. Yeah.
Makes sense. So you guys looking to tour?
That's not the picture for us right now. I mean, we got, you know, you've heard us talk. We got responsibilities, families, and all that stuff, and it's really hard. It would be really hard for us to up and just take off. It would be awesome.
It depends on who it was with.
I'm not saying we won't do it. Yeah.
Circumstances, because everyone's got mortgage payments. They've got, besides me, they got kids. Pets, they got to feed if you're single or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
so, yeah, it's not totally out of the question, but it would have to be the right circumstance.
Yeah, it'd have to be actually lucrative.
Yeah.
Well, at least you break even. Yeah. I mean, just to go out there and get your name out there, I'd be willing to break even just to do that and just try to grow our fan base. Because I think one thing I think about our songwriting, I like the songs that we wrote back in the day, and I think our songwriting is getting better, to be honest with you. And it seems like it comes in spurts. Well, we'll blast out. Here's three new songs that we got that we're now we have to think about. Big picture. I mean, we come up with riffs and we put them all together with Jimmy and all the guitars and everything. And then we have to think about, okay, what's this song going to be about? We need to come up with a topic and some lyrics that hopefully are hooky enough to people remember, but thrashy enough that keeps, you know, metal people like ourselves interested in the song. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Awesome. Lyrics? What are those?
I just want to be the thrash version of AC/DC, where every song is like, I remember that. That's singable. That's the song that's sticking in your head.
So, seems like you guys all kind of come up with the ideas for the songs.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty collaborative. Yeah. You know, for the most part.
And then Corn changes it.
Alrighty then. Okay, well, I don't think I have anything else for you guys. I appreciate you letting me be at practice, and hopefully some of the music that I recorded will sound awesome.
Cool.
We can help.
We can give it to you off the task count, but...
Well. Oh, yeah, we could, yeah. Sonny, why don't you go get it?
Yeah.
As you see, we still don't take each other.
Oh, yeah, no.
Some bass players fall down when they're playing. Some guitar players lose. Shit.
What happened to the Tascam?
Sonny? I don't know where it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
that happens.
We talk. So, yeah, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Hopefully I'll see you again soon. And after
at Halloween,
right?
Yeah, baby. I hope. Are you gonna be, can I add something?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about recording, and we're here in our room, and we've got a pretty good-sized jam room. Which I've posted pictures online before. We've got a big main room, and then we have a smaller room. It's a two-room deal, and then with our own bathroom here where we jam. Anyway, Sean has... This used to be a room right here where this wall is. Sean knocked out the wall, moved the wall back, got glass and everything. So long-term, we're looking at recording here in our room and doing our own production. That's, you know, a few years down the road, but that's what we want to do, I think. Be able to come in here, and if I want to come practice with my band, I can just go turn on the last practice and take myself out of the mix and jam with everybody, or come down and put some tracks and stuff we're working on. So, long term,
I've got basically almost all the recording stuff at my practice studio at my house. So, I have my own because I rehearse at home because we only get together once a week. And being a singer, I have to be able to play my chops. So, I work at home a lot and record at home a lot. Because, you know, taking a 20-year hiatus, you know, computers come a long ways. Well, so is recording. So, I mean, now that we can, you can have a whole studio in a PC.
Oh, yeah.
So, as long as you know a little bit about what you're doing, you can get it done pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's our goal now.
So. Yeah, that's what I'm really excited and looking forward to is being able to come down here and it's like, cool, last week we laid down drum tracks and I can spend 5 hours here by myself getting the perfect take on whatever.
And plus we can record practices and critique everything to death. And if one guy doesn't show up, we just turn him on the PA and then we can still practice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. It's an awesome space. Very comfortable.
Yeah, this is a great room.
Yeah, and I would like to say... Kathy is sitting on the floor. That's how clean our band room is. So all you slackers out there.
Thanks, Sean, for that. Sean's the clean freak in the band.
I vacuumed, actually. And I actually cleaned the toilet because we had guests coming over. I don't know
Thank you, Sonny.
I said, man, we got guests coming over. I got to clean this place up.
Hey, Sean, have you seen a Tascam around here by any chance?
No, last time I seen it, I gave it to you guys.
All right. Well, let's let her.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you guys so much for your time.
Just,
you can come down here and hang out with me.
Just.
Not always.
You've been listening to Just Kathy with OlaCast.com. Thanks for joining me. Tune in next week for another entertaining local interview.